Hi, friends. You've arrived at the space in between. I'm your host, Deneen Sigg. I'm an attorney, a mom, an author, an entrepreneur, and a widow. You are in the right place if you want to learn how we will navigate life's transitional moments, both good and not so good. Together, we will find the magic and bring the light to anything you are dealing with. Come sit with us in the space in between. I'm here with Jeff Murray on The Space in Between. I'm really excited to have him on. I've been creeping on his LinkedIn and checking out some of the people he's been working with, interviewing. I have so many questions, but I think what I want to start with is I saw something the other day about the four E's. So before we get into it, I want you to tell me a little bit about what got you started in this and what gives you joy about doing what you do for former athletes, but also people that maybe aren't former athletes. You help them transition, and our show is about transitions. So share with us a little bit about yourself and how you got into it. And then I want to jump into the four E's, unless you have something else you want to go to.
Absolutely. Just here to let it flow and see where it takes us. I got into this through life experience after playing sports growing up my whole life and then going into the career world and the corporate world and not really finding my footing, not really finding my path. I was going in certain directions. I feel like every direction we go is part of our journey, and where it takes us is where we're supposed to be at that given point. Back then, I didn't see it that way. But as I got older and I kept getting more and more leadership roles, people started telling me I should get into motivational speaking more so than anything. And then all of a sudden during COVID, I started helping people with that transition of life and understanding what was going on, trying to help them mentally, spiritually, whatever that looked like for them to compartmentalize this new way of life that we were being faced with. And that's when I started gravitating into leadership coaching. After about a year and a half of doing that, something wasn't really speaking to me as much in it. I don't know if it was just in the direction I was taking it. However, I almost gave up on coaching and just in general as a whole. And then through a breathwork session, I saw myself speaking to former athletes and not really understanding what that meant and what that was, not realizing a lot of that tied to the negative energy I was still holding from when I left sports just on my own. I left on my own accord, but in a very egotistical way, in a very unhealthy way. And I realized I was still holding on to pieces of that. So I did my own work through that and then also started interviewing other former athletes, talking to them about their transition in life. I realized this was such a huge area of concern for so many people and an area that isn't heavily addressed by people. Usually they're just thrown to the wolves into the world of something that they're completely unknown going into, or they're used to having a lot of structure in their life. And all of a sudden that transition back into the quote unquote real world is very difficult. And a lot of them go through a lot of acute depression, but it causes them to go into this path that isn't their own. It wasn't a path that they chose. They end up falling in somebody else's path. And then months turn into years and years turn into decades. Next thing you know, they're in this life they never even expected to have. It's really what's happening for them. Could always go into the difference between the two and the four, but realizing that it's not what they had ever expected. And they just go into feeling of unworthiness, all the negative energy and negative emotions that we go through. And that's what really led me down this path over the last essentially 10 months now that I've been working with former athletes. Everybody goes through this though. Everybody goes through this type of energy. If you've devoted an immense amount of time to anything in life, it could be a relationship, a marriage, it could be a job. I talked to my aunt who was a choral director and worked with music students her whole life. And when she retired, it shifted something for her that she's still trying to figure that out. So everybody goes through it. In my path, I've chosen to focus a lot with former athletes just because of my background. And I know that it's a need that isn't there for former athletes at the present moment.
Yeah, that sounds like a niche that hasn't really been filled, at least to my knowledge. So it's really good that you're out there and you're a resource for them. Jeff, after reading a lot of your stuff, what you have is unique and can help people across different spectrums. And so let's talk about your aunt. Let's talk about a former athlete. Let's talk about a guy who was a life insurance salesman for 25 years and wants to transition to something different, maybe nonprofit. Where would you start with any of them, or would there be any difference in how you would start?
Honestly, it really starts with just a series of questions to try to get them to start peeling back the layers for themselves of understanding of who they are. And a lot of times from my experiences, we have to unlearn what we've learned so we can relearn a new way in the way that we're supposed to be. I'm not saying that all of us went into the career, the profession, or whatever it is that we're transitioning out of a place of survival, but there are a lot of people that go in situations, they, as children at a young age, and they fall into this path. And sometimes it gets to a point because you start devoting so much time and effort into this particular endeavor that becomes your identity, and that identity becomes your purpose, and that purpose becomes what you think is the only thing that you really know. And what led you into that is really what can lead you into anything. It's just about having the courage to step in and start over and start fresh and start new and tapping back into the inner child of who that individual is. Just like when we're learning how to walk as a kid, the kid doesn't stop and say, screw it, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to crawl the rest of my life. The kid keeps going until it walks. It has a mission, it has a purpose. And interestingly enough, our parents cheer us on in those moments. They don't tell us, oh, it's okay if you just continue to crawl. Our parents always cheer us on. And as we get older, our curiosity heightens into other things much more elaborate than walking. Sometimes our parents tell us, no, that's not good. No, that's not okay. Or we get steered in different directions. Still as children, we're still trying to understand, well, like, that must not be good, so I must do something else. Your intuition is telling you in your heart and in your gut to actually do. And to me, it's about peeling back the layers to get to that moment, understanding the why behind somebody. There's a lot of different ways to approach it. My main mission is to peel back the layers of understanding the deeper level of why they are not only in the position to transition out, but also understanding the why as to what it is that they truly want for their life and what that looks like. Because sometimes we're so confused based off of what the direction of our path is taking. We think, I just want to do this and this. But a lot of it can be really funneled down into just a couple key areas. I know for me, what got me also into this in a deeper level of why was I always wanted to be a professional baseball player growing up or the lead singer of a rock band. And everybody always said, oh, you just want the spotlight on you. And when I actually dove deep and asked myself, why do I want to do that? A lot of times it's easier when somebody else is doing it. It gets very repetitive and very redundant. And a lot of people get annoyed with me when I do it. But I go down and I dig deep. And my deeper level why was when I was young and my dad left when I was 5 years old, I didn't really have a true path. I found sanctuary in baseball. I found sanctuary in music. I found sanctuary in just sitting in my room and listening and pretending like I was putting myself into the World Series and doing things like that. But I also looked up to my biggest role models, lead singers of rock bands and baseball players. I realized the impact they had on my life and sending me into a direction where I could have gone doing drugs and be addicted to certain things. I got addicted to sports and things like that. So for me, it was realizing the path that I was taking and the impact that it had on me. And I just wanted to have that impact towards others. It wasn't about the drug, sex, and rock and roll and all that type of stuff. Imagine standing on stage and 10,000 people are singing the lyrics that you poured your heart into, singing them back to you, realizing that each one of those 10,000 people had a different meaning for that song for themselves and understanding the impact that our words can actually have for everybody else.
It's touching me in a way because I think you and I have spoken a couple times before. So I'm a widow. As my husband was getting very sick, my son wasn't quite 10. Baseball and music, guitar playing were his two things. And Rob Thomas was one of his idols and Derek Jeter. He had aspirations to play for Stanford. And then he said, Mommy, I'm going to get pinstripes after that. And so he's in college. He's not at Stanford. He's still playing college ball, but now he changed his mind and it's turned to all his creative stuff. It's a little bit of music, but it's a lot of writing now. So the writing has taken a different path. So I was smiling so much as you were talking. This reminds me so much so far of Cole's journey, my son's journey, and what kept him stable. His dad didn't necessarily leave, but he wasn't really available. He's very sick, very weak, couldn't talk. It was neurological. So Cole also lost his dad at a young age, even though he didn't die until 9 years later, but it kept him stable, baseball and music. So I just have to point out that similarity. And I love what sports can do for kids that are going through a crisis, especially if they could achieve some level of proficiency, a really high level of proficiency, I think, brings you satisfaction in a way that you don't need exterior help with that. And I'm sure you must have had some level of proficiency in baseball that fed you, along with maybe playing guitar and writing songs. And that feeds someone, right, from their own plate. You're not looking for someone else to fill it if you can get up there and hit the home run. Or I don't know, what was your position?
Mainly first base most of my life. But as I got into ninth grade, I gravitated to be a pitcher. I was a lefty and I was terrified. But once I actually got on the mound and was given the ball and I felt the weighted pressure on my shoulders, it actually just lit my soul up. It was just amazing. And realizing that if I could keep anybody off of base, I could alleviate some of the stress and the pain. That also is another whole background of all this stuff around being the hero for other people. That part played a lot in that role for me, and understanding I was trying to be the hero for all the other players that were behind me and the catcher that was in front of me. That has played out a lot in my life, wearing the hero mask and shedding that mask and only being the hero for myself at this point in life, and understanding that you can't be the true hero for anyone unless you're the hero for yourself. And unfortunately, a lot of people in athletics, that becomes a recurring theme for them. And the scary thing is when kids go through crisis or traumas in life, and the sports tend to be that thing that feed their soul, that keeps them in a directional path. A lot of times when they transition out and they don't have a plan, the gravitational force of what they were running from or trying to keep themselves from in life pulls them right back into that same scenario. That's why you hear about athletes that all of a sudden are broke after making millions of dollars. They're broke and they're back surrounded in an unhealthy environment because they never healed that part of them. They never came to peace with that part of their past. That's our thought process. We go into the known familiar past because that's exactly what we know, until we can actually physically break that cycle and start saying, no, that was my old self. My new self is empowered to do this. A lot of times we fall right back into this black hole that sucks us in until we can actually crawl our way back out and get back into a more empowered state and empowered way of living.
That probably goes back to what you said at the beginning. You help people unlearn what they've learned. You give them guidance on how to clear up some of those neural pathways that are going back to that lonely time or that time where there was financial strife before they became really successful. I just love the similarities with you and my son with the pitching too, and going from catching to pitching and really feeling control on the mound. I think that brought a lot of self-empowerment to my son and maybe to you. As a pitcher, you do have the whole team looking to you to make sure the runs are low, that they stay ahead. So when we talk about people in sports, which we've done, and we talk about someone like your aunt, and we talk about someone else who might be starting to work on unlearning what they've learned, where do you see breakthroughs? I know you mentioned breath work for yourself. I think when we had one of our phone calls, you mentioned that it was a real game changer. Are these things that you bring into your practice with clients, or are these things you advocate for them to seek out? And if there's someone listening who just can't meet with you, is there something that you bring into your practice like breath work or something else? Or do you want to talk about a few different modes of experiential learning that helps your clients that you like to bring in?
I'm not certified to do breath work myself. And you don't have to necessarily be certified, but there are different types of breath work. Probably my most impactful one has been through like holotropic breathing. Usually what I do in any given session, if it's a one-on-one session or even a group setting, I'll usually ask them to set an intention at the beginning. And then I'll go through like a small little breath work. Basically what that does is it helps get things out of your head and back into your body so you can feel what's moving through you, where you're at, to calm yourself down, calm your nervous system down. Because a lot of times when people are just getting off of work or they've had a heightened day and maybe their spouse or partner is pissed off at them and they had a really shitty day at work, it's really about getting back into their body so they can start feeling what's going on for them, what really is coming up, where are they experiencing pain. The biggest breakthroughs, honestly, is a lot of times through breath work. Breath work is very powerful. And other things like journaling, meditation, a lot of people say, oh, I can't meditate because I can't quiet my brain. There's all sorts of apps you can buy or just have for free, or There's guided meditations on Spotify, and just literally pick something where someone is just talking to you through the meditation, because what that does is now you're focused on listening to them, not listening to your own brain. Most of us as humans hate sitting in stillness, but if we can learn to sit in our own stillness as we're trying to get to that point, we listen to somebody prompt us through a visual as we're going through this meditation, that'll help you start getting into that practice. The journaling is huge. Speaking affirmations, speaking gratitude every single day is such a huge, powerful thing, because I think so many people don't really speak gratitude consciously. That's such a powerful thing. And another thing I tell people to do to start creating a breakthrough, because these are all like little steps to create the bigger breakthrough and the bigger awareness. I didn't realize how unself-aware I was in this world for many years. We're just the sheep and the cattle, just herding along, just doing what people tell us to do and being guided in direction. So all of a sudden, one day it just hits us.
I want to add something to that. There's sheep and cattle, and then there's the lead alpha dog that some of us also play. And we're also not self-aware in that role. We're barreling through people. We're barreling through situations. For me, even before then, going to law school, being a woman, I had to sometimes barrel through. Well, force always works for me. Using my words and my higher level intellect, I'm not taking no for an answer. It works for me. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't. So you could be a sheep and that's just following. You could also be the lead dog and then all of a sudden realize, oh my gosh, I need to be more self-aware. This is not the way to approach every situation. I don't know how you feel about that, but I wanted to jump in and get your thoughts on that too.
At the end of the day, a lot of athletes are very much lead alpha dogs. And there's a part of being an athlete where you are still the individual, and the input that you give is the output that you get. And the best leaders in life know when to follow as well. I've always believed that a true leader doesn't just barrel through like you mentioned, because that's a lack of awareness. And the best leaders know when to follow. The best leaders know when to receive feedback and to ask for feedback. And the more we realize we think we know, the more we realize we don't know. And I think that's the thing that we have to truly understand, leaning into that unknowing of things and being humbled enough to say the things that we think matter really don't matter. But what matters the most, which is the other part I was going to say about the breakthrough of things in life, what matters is ourself. So one of the biggest steps that I tell people to work through is getting comfortable with looking at themselves in the mirror and saying, I love you. And that usually brings so many people to tears because they haven't ever done it. They've never actually looked at themselves and said, I love you. I love all of you. I love everything about you. I love your insecurities. I love the things that you're struggling with. I love the things that you're great at. I love the things that make you imperfect. And you're just talking to yourself, looking in the mirror. And that's the biggest thing, is we've all built this armor around this part of ourself. We're always functioning from the head, because that's what everybody wants us to think. I'm huge in the mindset, but our mind is only as powerful and as strong. You can make millions of dollars, just overpower and overcome, but eventually your body is going to say, I've had enough. Your heart's going to say, I can't take anymore. Meanwhile, while you're barreling through and overcoming everything, your body's slowly just being defeated and saying, just stop, just listen to me. And eventually it all comes to a head. And that's why we see people that are wealthy, that we think have everything in this world, all of a sudden just fall off the cliff because they've just been overpowering and overcoming with their mindset, where we just stop and listen to our heart and open up our heart and start to really truly love who we are as a human being. That's when the magic starts to happen. That's when the breakthrough starts to happen. That's when you can go into a breathwork session, be fully integrated, because breathwork only really works if you are willing to do the work. Just like anything, it's like your input gets your output. And I tell people, when you go into a breathwork session, go all in. Even if you're in a group, I've been in a breathwork session that was about 600 people at one point. It was super wild. A lot of emotion, a lot of screaming, a lot of crying. But I've also been in it where it's just me. And the key is to stay present in your experience. The key is just to go in. No one's judging you because everybody else is doing the same thing. I recommend hosting a live virtual breathwork session. And you can do them over Zoom and just go in. Don't hold anything back. Lean all the way in. And those are the moments where you start to have breakthroughs, because you go in with a very clear intention. Say your intention is, I want to have self-love. You can say, I want to feel more self-love for myself. Release the expectation of what comes from that intention. don't expect that you want to see a specific thing. Whatever comes to you through the breath work with that intention of self-love is what it's supposed to show you. It could show you something when you're 5 years old, and maybe it was a situation that happened with your parents. Maybe there was a moment where your parents were late to pick you up from school. You're standing there for 2 or 3 hours by yourself, and your feeling of worthiness just went out the door. Even though they came to finally get you, there was that piece of you that started a neural pathway that once something else made you feel the same way, reaffirmed that pathway, reaffirmed this. And you developed a lack of self-love because all you started doing was people-pleasing. All you wanted to do was parent-please, which turned into you not coming to peace with the situations in your life and realizing you are whole just as you are.
And so when you're guiding people through this or suggesting this to them as a modality for healing and as an accompaniment to your coaching, do you see breakthroughs that help these people transition to a more satisfying career or life or purpose? I know we focused a lot on breath work, like you said, journaling, meditation, even if it's guided. I need still guided meditations most of the time. I still can't fully quiet, so I listen to guided. And I've become extremely self-aware in the past couple of years and don't want to barrel through anything or anybody anymore because it worked for me for a time. It worked when I had 3 people leaning on me and I had to get things done, but it no longer serves me. There is this sort of moment where I say, I've got to feel this pain. I've got to feel this feeling, whatever it is. So do you find that when you're dealing with someone else who maybe did barrel through a lot or was hurted, as you also mentioned, them employing these modalities along with some coaching from you, how do you see those breakthrough happening for people? If someone's listening and they want to sort of hear a hopeful story or hear someone's success.
I'd like to preface that I'm not always just a coach, at least coach in the terminology of what they consider to be life coaches. I don't see myself necessarily that way. I see myself more as a mentor because there's certain moral and ethical codes you have to follow based off the ICF coaching certifications that they have. I will go through and peel back layers, ask questions, but then I'll also tell people, you need to do this. And the reason why is I want to see results. People will have a resistance to things. And then once they lean in to trying to find that better career, that better life, that sense of purpose, what they realize is once they finally start to just surrender to what is, and that the present moment is perfectly the way it's supposed to be, because every choice, every decision we've made up to this point has happened for a reason, because they keep happening. And if the things keep repeating, it's because we haven't learned the lesson. We haven't learned what life is trying to show us, whether it's God, universe, Buddha, whatever it is that we look towards. We surrender to that moment and we say to ourselves, okay, I am going to lean into my truest essence. I'm going to lean into my intuition. It's going to be hard because I've been trained for 30 or 40 years of my life to think a certain way, and I'm trying to unlearn that path. But once I surrender to what is and start listening and step back, breathe in the moment, our breath is extremely powerful. We can start realizing that the actual purpose is always evolving. Career really is insignificant as long as it has purpose and meaning to us. And that's the thing, is we could have an athlete, a former professional athlete, all of a sudden say, I want to be a forest ranger. And that's okay. Why? Because that's what they want. Their whole desire is to be in and around nature and preserving nature and creating a better life for all living species and making sure that we don't continue to rip down our forests and for massive growth that is completely unnecessary. That's what they want. And they're cool with making $40,000 a year because that's what they're passionate about. And that's beautiful. Because why? Because they've found what they're passionate about. Maybe 15 years later, they realize they're passionate about something else. And that's okay too. And once we realize it's all okay, that's when the true breakthroughs really do start to happen for individuals. They surrender to the fact that I'm always evolving and I'm always going to evolve. And it's all perfectly imperfect. And that's what makes all of it extremely beautiful. And that's when you see people start to lean in and realize, like, I've been avoiding me this whole time. The reason why is we feel so much tension in our bodies and we store things in our bodies is because our senses take in the initial reaction to any response, any trauma through our eyes, through our nose, through our mouth, through our ears, through touch. That's why things like EMDR, which is another modality for people for healing part of their past, because our eyes see things. And then through that, it goes into our brain and our brain sees it and tries to start understanding, compartmentalizing. So the brain's like, we don't know a healthy way to expel that from us and work through it, we push it into our body and it goes somewhere else and it's stored into different areas of our body. And then our body is constantly like holding on to this pain and this trauma. And our brain only communicates to the body at half the amount of time that the body communicates to the brain. So our body is actually more powerful in communication than the brain. So we just have to start learning to listen to that piece and stop making all of our decisions out of our head. Our head's great. Since I know that it's coming from here, how do I make that decision using my brain to navigate that path?
I think I heard Joe Dispenza say that the heart is more electromagnetic with the feeling than your brain is. If you're thinking a thought, it has this much electrocurrency to it, if I could use that term. But if you're feeling a thought, it's so much more powerful and it has so much more wattage or currency to it that it's dark. I think that's what you're saying. So let's say someone has come to this and you mentioned forest ranger. So I'm an attorney. I've had this love of animals and I've had this weird thing in my head that I've always wanted to learn how to arrange flowers like a florist. I wanted to always do that. And there's society, right? Like you're an attorney, you don't want to go and work in a florist shop. But as I'm getting more settled into myself, maybe I want to open up a floral shop. I don't know. I'm also reflecting back on my work with animals before I went to law school and how much I enjoyed hands-on veterinary care, even though I'm not a veterinarian, but like being an assistant in some way. And I'm struck with the same thing, that societal expectation that you are going to take your degree and you are going to make the most of it. And I do still love, by the way, advocating for people. I love certain aspects of being an attorney. So I'm not saying I'm over it, like maybe some of the athletes. Has anything surprised you where people are transitioning and they're telling you, I've always really wanted to do this, and then societal expectations stop them and they're still maybe held up on that?
It's difficult because conditioning and training are very much one and the same that we go through in life. It's hard to break that pattern, but we have to be willing to lean. When things feel really uncomfortable, that's usually a sign that we need to lean in. Because honestly, if we don't, those things in life are always going to continue to reappear, maybe not in the same form. The only way is through feeling in the moment, sitting in the stillness, leaning in and feeling every single aspect of what that is showing us. Because if we don't shift into that understanding of who we truly are and only listen to what societal standards really show us, we have to ask ourselves, who am I doing this for? Am I doing this for my former boss? Am I doing this for my parents? Why am I doing this for that person? What do I want? What does my soul speak to me about? The reason why that's so hard to really lean in and understand and accept is because we haven't accepted ourselves. We haven't accepted who we truly are, because so many of us in some way, shape or form, we fear judgment. We feel like we're unworthy to have certain things in our life. We have this fear of separation from being a part of something. We feel like if we do what other people tell us to do or think we should do, it'll help us feel accepted, when really the only acceptance we truly ever need is the acceptance for our own self. And once we accept who we are and we own every piece of that, I really don't think self-mastery is truly ever attainable. It's okay to strive to be excellent as long as we don't focus on the perfection and we don't allow it to beat ourselves up. It's okay to lean in to see how I can do something better, how I can raise my vibration, my frequency to a higher level. And there's different steps. The self-awareness is the very base. I did it for years where I was operating in an unconscious state. I wasn't focused on what life was really like. And that's why I felt like I was just being part of the herd. I just felt I was going down this path because it made sense because people were telling me what to do. Once I became aware of really what life is about, you go through different steps. The next one up is like self-exploration. There's self-actualization, which is a very high one. But in between those steps, there's self-love. When you get to self-love, unfortunately, some people fall back down. The reason why they fall back down is because they haven't had self-acceptance. They haven't accepted who they truly are. They haven't accepted all of their past. They haven't accepted all their faults. Once we own every piece of our existence, we own every element of who we are, nobody can ever go to you and say, what about the time that you did this? You know what? I did do that. I own that. That's a part of me. That's part of who made me. Nobody can derail you, because as soon as you take that acceptance and you love and own every part of it, you don't fall into societal norms. So at that point, the societal norm situation falls to the wayside because now you are in a position to make the choices that serve you best and not what serves the masses best, or somebody that's trying to pull you and control you in a different direction. Could be your spouse, could be a parent, maybe it's friends, maybe it's a group or community that you're with. Nobody can control you. Only you can control you at that point because you own every ounce and every piece of your being.
I will say, as an older person, I have children that do want to weigh in on what I'm going to do with the next 20 or 30 years of my life. So I don't know. Some people might have children that also feel very strongly about what their parent is going to do next. I wanted to get into the four E's. Do you think you could share that?
Absolutely. The first E is actually somewhat of a newer addition, but I added that in because the whole concept is so many people playing on to an identity. And the expel, the first E, is really about expelling who we've always thought we were, because most people who they think they are, they really don't even know who they are. They don't even realize that we've somehow had this meat suit put on us and this speck of dust in our solar system that feels like it gives us meaning. But really, if they read the book Untethered Soul, none of us are who we really think we are. None of it really ever matters. Once we unlearn the concept of the identity of wearing the pinstripes, like I always want to be a Yankee too. I always want to be Don Mattingly growing up. So the idea and the identity of saying, I want to be this, or this is who I am, or what am I going to do next? Releasing that, unlearning that, and realizing the true identity of all of us is whatever is residing in our heart. It's great to listen and to speak about exciting times and events and achievements that you had. However, expelling that and saying, I am not that person. That's a part of my existence. However, who I am is who I was born into. The most purest form and essence of my truest form was when I came out of my mother's womb. That is literally the purest element of life. At that point, it's the X project. X marks a spot. We're all here as this thing, but everything is external. All of it ties in with the direction I'm taking people, but you can't truly live in your fullest expression of life if you don't go in first. So the internal, anything that's IN versus EX, a lot of it revolves around with going in. Intuition is inside. Once we expel the external noise of who we think we are, we explore in and listen to the intuition and the internal state. Then we can start to express back out to the world who we want to be and our desires to be, and not listening to all the other noise. The third EX is the express. And once we express, then we can expand. The expansion, again, another external element, is starting to come out from inside and is projecting outwardly in our truest form to express and expand into the way that we're supposed to in this world, and the way in our truest authenticity and genuineness to have the greatest impact, not just on ourselves, but on our family, on the people, on our society. That's when the expansion can really start to lean in and take on a whole new form.
That's amazing. And that's why I wanted you to talk about it, because I love the way it flows. It's such a great guide for people. If they can't meet with you, they can sort of maybe take this as their own self-help. Before we sort of wrap up, I wanted you to talk about your coaching program. Do you think that that helps someone become a person with an elite mindset, or do you envision something greater than even these steps?
I feel like there's always room for the expansion of the steps. Yes, I firmly believe, just from my own experience and then other people I've spoken to in the space that have helped me explore my vision first, then express it, and then expand into a bigger vision. And I meant to fully express this earlier, but our mind is only as powerful as the level which we've worked through and handled the things that we've been through. Some people have led a very amazing life, haven't had a whole lot to overcome, and they've had very healthy upbringings. Most of us haven't. Most of us have been through traumatic experiences, like my father, for leaving when I was 5, I've had conversations with him about it, how finally in my adult years that I understand you did the best that you could, and I love you for everything that you are. I told my mom I love her for everything that you did for us. I know you did the best that you could. I know I held resentment towards certain things. There was something still underlying where I couldn't speak to them about certain things. Until you can get to that point, self-acceptance is always going to be met with resistance. But within that, going through these steps you start to heal and start to really tap into your truest intuition, because the body speaks at 2 times the level that the brain does to the body, you're only going to strengthen your mindset. You're only going to strengthen who you become in this world, because you realize, I'm not resisting this anymore. I'm leaning into this where it can actually explore the world at the way that it's supposed to. We are all built with the same resources. It's our lack of resourcefulness. So when we are limiting our body, we're limiting our mind. So once we open up the portal to our body to really lean in and understand who we are and listen to that intuition, the mind is only going to take off even that much further, because that's when your mindset really becomes unstoppable.
I agree. I do want to say, though, for a lot of people, revisiting their childhood problems or trauma is extremely difficult. And I hope that everyone does it. And like you said, you came to peace with the fact that your dad left, but you accepted it. A lot of people I know are still in resentment mode towards their parents for various different things. I think that's a really important step. I think it might be a really difficult step for a lot of people, but I love that you bring it up. And I hope that people that are listening will give that a little bit of thought. I didn't have a traumatic upbringing, but my parents had a little bit of a traumatic relationship at times. Me, my brother, my late brother, and my sister, we just had accepted this is what they did with each other. And they're still my parents. Love them for who they are. But I think that's an important step, Jeff. And I really think it's really good that you bring that up. And maybe it does stop people from expanding out into their truest self if they can't look back and go, you know what? You did the best you could. You really need to be able to say that to, I think, almost everybody in your life. I think there are still some situations where you might look at that person and say, you really didn't do the best you could. And then you have to find peace with that.
We have to understand at that point that there are going to be times in life where people just didn't give their effort. I've been in a number of situations like that, and I did hold resentment for a while. And even though I typically let things go, there was still something that I didn't deal with. I then process it in the way I felt to, because I used my mindset and I just said, forget about it. Because we harbor it inside, it stays inside. It has nowhere to go. And that starts to develop dis-ease in our body, which is where disease comes from. That's why sometimes some people, when they have a breathwork session or they have a very powerful plant medicine or anything like that, all of a sudden they come out of it and there's parts of their body that are no longer in pain, because that's where they were harboring their pain. A lot of times the pain starts to slowly dissipate because we're no longer holding on to that painful part of our past. The sooner that we can do those things, the easier life will get. There's so much freedom in addressing your childhood, getting through that piece and coming to peace with who you are now. People don't realize they're in pain because our bodies are so beautiful and so amazing because they're so resilient. When I was younger, I'd eat McDonald's all the time in high school, but my body was okay with it. I got used to it. But then you're like, but how could I do it for so long? The thing is, we're addicted to the pain. We're addicted to the survival mode that we've developed, because in a very masochistic way as humans, we have a way of spinning something around to where you could be presented with, say you have an issue in relationships, like trusting men, and you always keep your guard up of certain things, and you keep attracting very specific men into your life because you kept this certain guard up around certain things. So you're always attracting unhealthy men for yourself. But when a healthy man comes into your life, you would think the person would be like, this is what I've always wanted. The odd thing, the masochistic thing, the way the body and the mind works and the way we work, we feel that's unsafe because we're not familiar with it and it feels uncomfortable. So we immediately get rid of that person to go back to the unhealthy person, because for some reason we feel more safe and comfortable in the chaotic state that we are living in because we've become so accustomed and so used to it. It's not until we shift away from that, start accepting and leaning into this beautiful existence of a man or a woman or whatever the case may be in a relationship, to say, wow, I do deserve this. It does feel unsafe because I'm not used to it, but I see this person's got beautiful intentions. I see where they're coming from. I feel seen. I feel heard. I feel safe. All of the things that we want, now I can feel safe in what is truly a safer environment.
That's the goal, right? For all of us. I really appreciate this, Jeff. And is there anything that you want to end on here, or anything that you want to promote with yourself or want me to promote, for people to look into you if they want more resources or more help?
For former athletes, I do have a free group community that's on Facebook. It's called United Athletes. me and one of my business partners, Kalani, we started this thing, and it's just a small group right now. We're slowly building it up. It's a private group, so it's a safe container. Anything you speak of stays in that container. I have my podcast. It's all Athletes Afterlife. My Instagram's athletes.afterlife. Obviously, the name speaks for itself. I'm working on building my public speaking platform. I do group coaching. Anything along those lines, you can hit me up. We'll love to chat. I always give free 30-minute consultations for people just to kind of understand where they're at, get to know each other better so they can feel safe to express who they are, to see if it's even something that could be a good fit for people as far as working with me and seeing kind of what that looks like. And at the very least, hopefully I give them a few nuggets of information that can help them expand on their own, even if it's not a right fit.
Absolutely. I'm sure that anybody who spends any time with you will leave enriched in some way, regardless of what the outcome is. That's why I wanted to have you on. So thank you so much, Jeff. Look forward to seeing you again another time. Thank you so much for joining me today. Remember that even in your worst days, there is always something beautiful. You just need to look for it. Until next time.